Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Mom, it's back to school time, and this year, I'm going to be ready for it. Because now I can save $200 on a Microsoft Surface 3 tablet when I get a Lumia smartphone on AT&T Next.
$200? That's great! As a college student, you could really use that. Does this mean no more living off microwavable noodles?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. With this deal, balancing my responsibilities will be easier than ever.
The Surface 3 would be perfect for downloading textbooks. It's the tablet that can pretty much replace your laptop.
And I can use the Windows Phone to keep up with friends.
Sounds like you'll finally be ready for whatever the school year throws at you.
Like when I go to the grocery store, I get everything I need for the coming week. Teriyaki noodles, beef noodles, and don't forget seafood noodles.
Okay, sure. If that's the best analogy you've got.
Save $200 on a Microsoft Surface 3 when bundled with any Lumia smartphone on AT&T Next. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Limited time offer select locations includes Microsoft Surface 3 64GB only. Microsoft Surface 3 requires 2-year agreement. Must activate wireless service on both devices. Early termination, activation, or upgrade and other fees, charges, and restrictions apply. See your participating store for all for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to the most powerful show for truth anywhere on planet Earth. You are now tuned into the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True, and Living God, who has come to us and granted us a blessing in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment. We're talking about none other than the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audience with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram's 1555 blog at Hiram1555.com, and also check us out over there on LinkedIn. My voice is cracking and going in and out, brothers and sisters, I've had a long 2 weeks, I'm telling you, not just on the radio show, but dealing with business and everything. To let you know that you always have a lot to do and you always have things that's going on, but there's still no excuse for you not to stand on your post. We all have trials. We all have tribulations. We all have a lot of things that we have to deal with in our professional lives and in our personal lives, and we still have to be mindful enough to serve the God whom we said that we would give our lives for. The God that we said in our prayers, my sacrifice, my life, and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. How many of you are living close to that? How many of you are striving towards that? How many of you truthfully can honor that oath that you take in your prayers? Not many of us, because whatever you spend most of your mind on, whatever you spend most of your time doing, wherever your heart is, that's where your God is. Right? You can learn the teachings in and out. You can speak them verbatim. You got a lot of these brothers here that they'll do that. Every time you talk to them, they want to quote to you the scripture. Calling you, quoting you the scripture. And when you get tired of listening to them quote, now they call you for counsel. And when you get tired of listening to them, they get mad at you. All right? Out of arrogance, we do things, and just like as me and one brother was talking about, Jesse, a lot of the Muslims have the Jesse Jackson mind frame. We have been nothing for so long, you don't care what it is, you've got to learn something, memorize it, to say, I am somebody. I am somebody. It's not about what you say, it's where your heart is at and the actions that follow after your thinking and your heart. For wheresoever your heart lies, There is your intentions. There is your potential. And there lies the object of your affection. So today, you need to wash yourself, clean yourself, awake yourself, and stand yourself up on the ladder of truth and power, because your world is being established as the old world goes out. And the old world is mad as hell that they cannot stop what God has ordained. And you are being so foolish, so arrogant in nothingness, so arrogant, so proudful, and so prideful, and don't know your finger from your hand. And this is dooming a lot of us because we have been mistaught right. A lot of us have the teachings. We have the scriptures. We have the messengers' writings. But if you do not have the connecting point, special piece, you don't get any power. You don't get the full illumination of the teachings. Just like if you are a house, if you're in your house has all the prerequisites to receive electricity. But if there's a disconnect somewhere from the power box to the power line, regardless of how well you are built inwardly, you can have stainless steel kitchen. You can have granite countertops. You can have hardwood or bamboo wood floors. You will not be an illuminated house without light because there's no connection from the power box to the power pole. Right? This is what I'm getting to you, brothers and sisters. A lot of us can recite the scriptures. We can recite the messenger's teachings, but we are not reciting them to ourselves, repeating them to ourselves, trying to live them within our own lives. And so with all of the light that you have, your house is darkened because there's no connecting point from the breaker box to the power pole. You're beautiful. You're a beautiful house sitting there. It's a beautiful house sitting there. Beautiful front door, beautiful manicured lawn. But what good is the house without illumination, without it being able to be livable? So without the right spirit, the right mind, that DNA, the right material that God uses and molds and fashions into something great, without that material, you're just an empty house, unworthy of anything, regardless of how well you speak, how well you may know the teachings, how well you may recite the scriptures. You're nothing, because your potential is not and has not been realized. And you don't even see that the world is coming against you first, the so-called American Negro, then your brothers all around the globe, to keep your world from being established, because their world is going out. It's going out swiftly. And now you see Russia has put her central military forces on combat alert. That didn't come in a void or vacuum. That came after all the provocations of NATO under America on her border. That didn't come in the absence. Just yesterday, or day before yesterday, she deployed the most advanced air defense systems close to America's west coast. On her east coast, the S-400 missile system. And she deployed some of the most advanced fighter jets, not only to western flank and southern flank, but she deployed 36 of them with about a dozen strategic nuclear bombers close to America's coast. These things are not happening in a void. Don't you see that your world is being established as the old world goes out? It is dying. You understand? It is dying, brothers and sisters. And as I talk to you, I have clips I want to play, but I'm looking for something. You're hearing noise right now because I'm looking for one of the books. Because something just came to my mind that I want to read to you. I hope it's right here. Isn't that something? I don't even have it on my desk because I didn't think I would be. But anyway, I would advise you now to get the book, Self-Preservation is the First Law of Nature. Order it from the Highlands 1555 blog. A lot of that, half of that, or most of that money does not even go to me. I just put it out there for you, brothers and sisters. But I would advise you to go get that book and study it over. When you get it, read it three times, back to back. And then analyze what you see going on in the world today. And that book can be a life preserver for you who are treading the hard waves of this world. And you're swimming against the tide and are about to drown. If you get the life preserver, which are the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you may yet be found worthy to escape the drowning, to escape the death, the madness, and the insanity which has taken hold of all of the world, especially America. Your world is being established as the old world goes out. It's magnificent. It is almost as a pregnant woman. She goes through 8 or 9 months of travail, pain, hurting, And you say, wow, this woman, from a man's perspective, how could she go through all of this? If it was left up to me, the world would be barren. There would be no children, right? And you're looking at her, and you're looking at the magnificence of her, being able to persevere as life is created within her womb. Her womb is the mimicking of the universe, of the womb of the universe. As God emits light in the universe, we see life and light germinate throughout this universe. So it is as the God, the male, emits the life seed into the woman's womb. We see light and life illuminates that dark womb. And it starts rotating and building itself up. And that woman goes through 8 to 9 months of travail. Hell, almost. And she stands on the precipice of life and death daily. And through all of that, when her water breaks and it gives way for a new life to be formed and to come into being, after all of that, you ask that woman, was it worth it? And she'll say she'll do it again. Because none of the pain, none of the struggling, none of the strife compares to the new life that she has brought into being. So it is with this world. With all of the death, the wars, the destruction, the hunger, the poverty, the sickness, the disease, and the madness which is striking the people blind. None of it is comparable to the new life that God has germinated in the so-called American Negro, and we're ushering in a new world under his guidance through the spirit of his messenger. Your world is being established, black man and black woman, as the old world goes out. As one life dies, a new life comes in. As one world goes out, a new world comes in. As one thing extinguishes its purpose and being, another one is made manifest. This is the life science. These are the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is the natural law of the universe. And all while this is going on, they are trying to prevent you and your world from coming in. They are attacking you openly, black man, black woman. I want you to listen to a couple of these clips, brothers and sisters, and let you see that you're not wanted in this world. You're not wanted here in America. They don't like you. I don't know why you're smiling at them. They don't like you. Listen to this clip.
First story this hour takes us to the United States, which is going to put 3 convicted killers to death within a 24-hour period after the Supreme Court denies a stay of execution. Well, the executions are going to take place in Florida, Georgia, and Missouri. All the 3 states have refused to say where they get their drugs or if they're tested. Now, the executions are the first lethal injection since a botched one in April. Lawyers for 2 of the inmates have challenged the secretive process used to obtain lethal injection drugs from unidentified compounding pharmacies. U.S. states are facing an embargo from European pharmaceutical firms, which has made them turn to loosely regulated American companies. Crossing over to Vancouver, joined by international lawyer Mr. Alfred Labermond Weber. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, there was a short stay, but now we see that there are going to be 3 executions very shortly. Let's look at this. What is the rush as far as with the American system in not giving it time to actually find out about the drugs that are being used in these lethal injections? Why are they in a rush to continue these executions?
That's a very, very good question. The U.S. Constitution has a prohibition against, quote, cruel and unusual punishment. And that's what the attorneys for these prisoners are arguing because of the European boycott, which incidentally, many of the states are now drifting over to the U.S., to the European standard and away from the death penalty, as is public opinion in the United States, so that the states that are still retaining the death penalty find themselves in the minority. But, for example, in Georgia is classifying the method that by which they intend to put to death Marcus Wellens, and we don't have the latest information at this time, quote, as a state secret. And the plans that they have so far is to put him to death, they said, at 7 p.m. Eastern time, quote, using a single massive dose of the barbiturate pentobarbital. So I think that they're, you know, treating the prisoners like industrial cattle. And I think that this rates with the darkest impulses in the American justice system, and you know, along with the for-profit prisons, and that's why the United States has the largest prison population. They're probably getting paid a great deal for the executions, and so they're looking at the bottom line as, you know, probably it gives them more profit. That would be my guess.
Well, with the pay, you just mentioned paid-for-profit at prisons, and as I'm looking at the picture of the three individuals who are set to be executed next, they happen to all be African-American, and we know that the majority of prisoners in the United States are actually African-American, especially when we compare the statistics as far as the percentage of the overall population that they are. My main question is, being that the United States always talks about human rights and talks about equality, when we look at the prison system overall and we see the problems and the vast differences as far as prison population compared to the overall population, why isn't there being more done by human rights groups and others to actually look at this lack of what appears to be equality, especially in the prison system?
Well, there have been many studies done in all of the states, most notably in New York, on the issue of racial profiling that uniformly show that there is racial profiling, and that's why racial groups such as blacks are disproportionately represented there, and this is again a part of a targeted depopulation program against the blacks. There are more blacks in prison than they are in schools or in higher learning, and it's a way of depopulating, and I would say it meets the definition of genocide under the Geneva Conventions. As to why this is not being taken up on war crimes at the ICC, for which I believe that there would be a case, that is a good question.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, international lawyer Alfred Lebermut Weber out of Vancouver, Canada.
Now, think about what was said. America is always talking about human rights and preaching this to other people. When she holds the largest prison population, she only makes up 5% of the population of the globe and makes up well over 25% of the total prison population on Earth. And 70 to 90% of the prison population is from her ex-slaves who do not have representation, who does not get a free trial, a fair trial, who does not get a jury of their peers, because when you step in the courtroom, there's 12 white people looking at you, non-black people, who cannot sympathize with your situation. This man said he classified this under the Geneva Conventions as war crimes, as genocide, as a depopulation move against black America. This is a white international lawyer. You understand? This is why Muhammad says, forget seeking civil rights. Seek human rights. Because if you show the world America's shame, she will be forced into a precarious situation. We must be recognized as humans. This is a cattle prodding program, the system, the justice system here in America. and they are moving against black people. They are demonizing you. They're removing your access to counsel, to just counsel, to represent you. And then they're making it a for-profit because regardless of how innocent you are, most of you don't have the money to get a lawyer. And when the lawyer, if you have money to get the lawyer is buddy-buddy with the state attorney. The lawyer is buddy-buddy with the judge. So they're all going to work out agreements which are beneficial to them, not you, unless you have a lot of money. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Someone is about to take away your enjoyable independence. The white race here in America has done the worst to the black people, who has helped the white man to build up the country of America and to make it suitable and to bring in this enjoyable independence. But the white race in America has angered God due to the evil done to us after our 400 years here under the white race. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I'm going to go to another page, but I want to address this because our world is coming in. Now, with all of this, you comprising between 70 and 90% of the prison population. You have no access to good counsel. You are being judged by people who think of you as subhuman. They would rather have a dog in their presence than to have you there. They would rather, you see how they're making laws to protect animals. Now you, the black man and black woman, has been here for nearly five centuries. On the back and suffering and free labor of our forefathers, it enriched America and built America to be the superpower on the back of millions of slaves, right? And yet and still, you don't have it enshrined in the Constitution to vote. You have to get it renewed every so often by the president. It's an act of presidential writings to give you the right to vote. But people who are nationalized citizens, they come in, they have an inherent right to vote. Huh? Are you seeing this? They don't look at you as a citizen. You are not a citizen because their Constitution says that you are only three-fifths of a human being. But they'll give voila when you go to the government of America and you ask for land, you ask for reparations, you ask for a place to start your own and be yourself. You ask them for this. They get a blind eye and a deaf ear and a dumb tongue. And they give hundreds of millions of acres of land to endangered wildlife. It may be 100 buffaloes. They'll give them 10,000 acres to roam and dare you to go shoot them, and they'll put you in jail forever. Right? Here we have 40 to 60 million men and women who are up from slavery, who does not have a pillow or a post, a block or a corner to lay your head on, and yet you're smiling, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, with your white slave master. You laughing because you got you a BMW and parking it in front of the condominium or the apartment you stay in. What kind of sense is that? That shows us that something is wrong upstairs. You are suffering from amnesia. You have lost the knowledge of who you are. But your world is being established with or without that knowledge, because the God, the supreme being, is on the scene, and as he forces one world out, he is going to force you to stand up on your own. All of this is a part of making you come to your own, prodigal sons and daughters, here in the wilderness of North America. This is what this is about. He is opening up that man of sin to you so that you will not be able to deny it. Muhammad says this on page 120 of The Fall of America. He says, America is angry over the possible freedom of her black slave, one slave, to go for self and to set up self-independence. America is angry and does not want the black slave to seek something other nations to help him. Excuse me. The reason I paused there is because something came right in my mind as I was speaking. They have manatees. Save the manatees. Save the bald eagle. Save the endangered rhino. And they're spending billions of dollars to save these animals. And here you are, the cream of the earth. You are the direct descendant of the creative God from creation. And they are mistreating you, abusing you, deceiving you, right in the presence of God. And you cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Boss, all right with me. Your people are suffering down the street, and you go back in your, as you peep outside to see what's going on, you like a docile child, go right back in your gate, close it up, and go back in your house. Well, it ain't affecting me. Boss ain't bothering me today. This is a move on Black America, and you don't even realize it, because your time has come. Your time not just to come and take America, but to take the entire universe. God wants to hand you that which is of your own, and everything in creation is your own. And because of their wickedness, because of their deceit, because of your blindness, willingly blindness, you are blindly walking on willingly, because you are refusing to accept the obvious. Every day they come out and tell you what Elijah Muhammad says. No, they don't say Elijah Muhammad says such and such. They just present it to you. And you see it and you believe it because the devil said it. You don't argue with the devil. But you're going to argue with Elijah and those who follow Elijah. I ain't talking about those who follow Farrakhan and all of these fools out here. I'm talking about those who follow the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. You want to take arguments every day about this. And I'm asking you, well, isn't the dollar declining? Yep. Well, aren't the devil calling America Gog and Magog? Yep. Isn't her dollar off the gold and silver step? Yep. What about the destruction of our educational system? Yep. What about revolutions? Yep. What about the doom approaches? Yeah, we hear the devil talking about that. What about all of these things in a book he put in there called The Fall of America? Are they not murdering babies like he got in chapter 6? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're doing that. Huh? What about the tricks in the national election? Well, we saw that with Kerry. We saw that with Gore. Huh? You see all of these things. What about the resurrection of our people? What about the opposers of the truth? Huh? What about evil spreading far and wide? In America fulfilling the term that she was here for. What about her putting concentration camps within her borders? This is big news on the alternative media. But it ain't big news to us because it's been written in the book entitled The Fall of America for decades. You don't want it because it came from Elijah Muhammad's mouth. But you accept it from Alex Jones. Yeah, because he got the name Jones. You accept it from Kaiser because he has that Jewish name, Max Kaiser. You accept it from everyone but the man whom God ordained to give it to you. You don't argue with them, but you argue with Elijah. Isn't that foolish? Your world is being established with or without you, and you can't see it because you are blinded, completely blinded. Remember America's fall. She is like unto Babylon, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, okay? But I want to get to something else real quick. Huh. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. The Holy Quran also teaches us that God used snow, rain, wind, hail, earthquakes, and fire against former wicked people. Is America any better than the people we read about in the history that God destroyed? No, she is not as good. These people were not as wicked as the American people. Earthquakes can destroy towns and cities instantly. America is in the grip of divine judgment. America is in the position towards her ex, her once slave, so-called Negro. As, listen to this, he does a comparable analysis right here, what we call in real estate, which is an appraisal. He does a comparable analysis, right? And listen to what he says. America is in the position towards her once slave, the so-called Negro, as Pharaoh was with Israel as his slave. She is in this position because of the injustice done to the American so-called Negro slave, brought to America over 400 years ago and refuses to let them go free. They only say that you are free, knowing within that you are not able to leave them without anything. But the injustice continues to increase. Now they plan death. They're planning death for you. They put you in jail. The jails are overcrowded. They thought they could make money off of you. They continue to overcrowd. Don't you see that there's a population decrease in white America and in Europe? Their populations are declining faster than the Titanic has sunk. Yet, even as they lock us up, they cannot build as many jails to lock the population up. So they put drugs and guns in our community to kill off some of us. And that still is not working. They are perplexed and they're working overtime to kill you off. But God is the best preparer. He's a mighty God. And he is perplexing and he is vexing the slave master just as Pharaoh was vexed and perplexed. He is falling. Listen to what Muhammad says. They only say that you are free, knowing within that you are not able to leave them without anything. But the injustice continues to increase. Now they plan death. Now, Muhammad, what if they plan a death? What are we to do? What are we to do? So this God, what God, Master Farad Muhammad, was predicted by the prophets to come to the defense of this people, the so-called Negroes, in the last days after they served the enemy for 400 years. The Bible declares to Abraham in Genesis that God would judge the people to whom his people would be in bondage. This does not mean Israel. This means the present black people, the members of their black nation who have and are fulfilling their prophecy. God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad will not be defeated. The more evil, deceiving, tricking, and making of false promises to the so-called American Negro only increases America's divine chastisement, her doom. Now, with that said, let us remember, and we'll go to page 38 because I want a direct quote about the fall of Babylon. But Muhammad in chapter 33 states that there's a modern Babylon that is fallen, right? So he is not talking about the past Babylon. He's talking about a more recent Babylon. And right here, I want to stop for 1 second and say, I see Blog Talk Radio again knocking off callers left and right. I've seen in the last 15 minutes, I've seen at least 15, 20 calls just drop behind each other, just drop, brothers and sisters. And now I'm pretty sure they're blocking them from getting back on. This is how the devil works. Okay? And I'm telling you, that's why I continue to tell you, brothers and sisters, donate. Go to the Hines 1555 blog and donate. It's not going to hurt you. And every time you listen to this show live, listen to it as though it's your last time hearing it, because it just well may be, because we have not received the donations that are needed to put this on the server that is needed, and Blog Talk can snatch us off at any time. And they told us that they may do that. Okay? So I just want you to be aware of all of these things. But anyway, in chapter 33, the title is called Modern Babylon is Fallen. Modern Babylon is Fallen. And on page 138 of this chapter, this is what Muhammad says about a modern Babylon, not an ancient one, but a modern one. He says this: the devil was not made to exist forever. This is verified by both the Bible and the Holy Quran and by all writers and teachers of Scripture. So here, Babylon seems to refer not only to some town or city, but it also seems to refer to a race or a nation of people. So now we move from talking about a defined geographical territory to a people with specific traits, right? Then he goes on and says this: ancient Babylon. Now he's not talking about a geographical location anymore. He's talking about a people. Ancient Babylon is known by all of us, was a city under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. The fall of Babylon was final. Babylon was never to be rebuilt after her fall, and Babylon was never rebuilt. This points to the same prophecy of the devil and his kingdom in the Revelation of John in the Bible, that Satan and his kingdom would be burnt up and it would never rise again. Right? This is what it says. This is what we're at right now. This is the Bible. As a matter of fact, we're going to go into it in just a second. Let me reach for it. Reprove what the messenger says. See, this is the people here. Mm-hmm. Listen to what it says in the Bible concerning Lucifer. Look at what it's saying in the Bible concerning how this devil would try to be like the Most High. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man?" See, it's talking about a people now. No longer is it talking about a geographical location. It moves from that to a people. Right? Brothers and sisters, listen what he says right here. Okay? "They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet." This is America. This is the Anglo world. This is the white race. No people answer that. Who has dominated the world in the last 6,000 years? Who wages war at will? Who has the bombs and threatens you if you don't bow to their so-called international laws and organizations? This is not the black man. This is not the brown man. We can't attribute it to the red or the yellow man. Hell, we'll all but destroy it. So the only one that fits the description of Satan or Lucifer, is these people here who control America, who control Europe, who control all of the Anglo-occupied nations, because those are not their nations. They are occupied by the Anglo. The entire earth belongs to the black man. And it is now returning. And that's why we see climate change and global warming and all of these things going on in the universe, because we are living in the midst of a universal change. "Behold, I make all things new, and the former things shall pass away. A new heaven and a new earth." All of this is in the work. All of nature has been turned. And because of that mistreatment of you and I, they're losing everything that they held dear to them. We got an awesome God. I want to say this, brothers and sisters. I want to stop everything that I'm doing. I want to stop everything that I'm saying and take the time to introduce you to a God who cannot be defeated. I'm talking about our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad. He cannot and will not be defeated. I'm talking about a messenger, an incomparable one, who is the fulfillment and the culmination of every prophet, apostle, and messenger who preceded him. He is not on the level of civil rights leaders or historians or even of the wicked and evil and bit scientists, or not even the God scientists. For they were not able to take the book out of the hands of he who sat on the throne. This man looked as though he was slain from the foundations of the earth. And not only was he able to take the book out of the hand of he who sat on the throne, he was able to unlock the seven seals, and that's why the God scientists bowed down to him and said, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God." Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful day, because your world is being established as the old world goes out. Your world is being established. I love you with all my heart. I love my people. And I want you to know that if you turn to that God who can't be defeated, the Christians refer to him as the Jesus Christ. That's right. The Muslims refer to him as the great Mahdi. That's also right. Matter of fact, that's better than Jesus Christ. Those names are better, right? But we refer to him as Master Farad Muhammad. But his real name is Mahdi. His real name is Mahdi. But he chose for himself for this particular and special mission to redeem you and I, the name Farrar. He is so powerful. He's so awesome. He's so indefeatable that his father, his mother, and the scientists weren't able to give him a name. So he chose for himself the name Farrar to correspond with his coming, to come get you and I, to raise us up, and to fashion us. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And he has done as the Jesus did with that clay bird. He molded it, and then he breathed into that earthen vessel, and that earthen vessel became a breathing, living soul by God's permission. I'm telling you of this man here today. He's not a spook. He's live, and he's here, and he's making his word be stand on an hourly and minute basis. And I want to tell you that that man who came and who preceded him, behold, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah, and he shall prepare the way before me. Yeah? Well, we see that Elijah did a hell of a job. No, I should let me rephrase that. He did a heavenly job. Elijah did a heavenly job, and he is now in part two of the mission, of the gathering up of his people to lead us into the Exodus. And while they are trying to imprison us and kill us and genocide us and ethnically cleanse us and demonize us, our Lord touches their economy step by step, and they fall. I want you to listen to this. This was taped 3 years ago. I want you to listen to this, because they're going to be talking about 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 people in poverty. Then I'm going to bring you up to date with a clip right after that about what's today. And you'll see just how, by degrees, Allah has destroyed the foundations of their economic prowess and power. And so sooner or later, it all falls down. America is Humpty Dumpty. And she sat on a wall of glory, right? And she fell down. Right, and she called all of NATO, all the king horses and all the king men, but they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, could it? Because Allah had pushed off that wall. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Listen to this clip. This was in 2012.
Children, playful, innocent, 1 in 5 in the U.S. struggling with hunger.
The federal government tells us that by the time a child reaches the age of 18, it will have a 1 out of every 2 chance of being on food stamps. So the federal government itself is telling us that half of all children will be on food stamps by the time they reach the age of 18.
On any given day, 1 in 4 children are on food stamps, and over 21% are living in poverty. For African-American kids, that number jumps to 35%.
In a country with a government and a model that's focused on the well-being of its people, obviously its children would be a priority. But unfortunately, the United States is not a country with that kind of model.
Food pantries like this one see parents barely keeping afloat financially, their paychecks not stretching to feed their children every day.
We're serving now almost 12,000 individuals per month, majority are children.
44% of single mothers in America are on food stamps, yet struggle to put food on the table.
I have 6 kids of my own. I have 15 grandkids, and it's rough. The food stamp is not enough. It's not enough money, so you got to go out there and struggle.
Getting food is a nonstop battle for these mothers.
A lot of people don't come out because of pride. But now, even pride gets pushed aside when your children are hungry.
For these people, poverty is a growing pandemic.
I'm just afraid of what's going to happen to the next generation under me, under my kids. I'm just afraid because everything is falling apart. I get very angry because I feel like they're making the poor suffer.
The Voices of Poverty is a website showing many faces of American hunger.
God only knows how I survive with 3 girls, a 2-bedroom apartment, and trying to keep food in their mouths. Sometimes I go without eating just to feed them.
One of the things I found as I traveled around was just the sheer enormity of this, that this is a problem that is probably the single greatest economic challenge facing America, the vast numbers cascading into poverty. And that's just something that shouldn't exist in a country with all of the food resources that America has.
This New York school is one of many where more than half of students are eligible for free lunches in order to ensure the kids get at least one proper meal a day.
It is sad. It is sad. And I wonder when people are going to get it together.
Experts say the problem of hunger in the U.S. is more widespread than in other developed nations.
Getting worse. It's not getting better. And this is a major crisis in this country because you look at countries like the United Kingdom or France. They have child poverty rates that are under 10%, yet in the United States is now well over 20%.
Meanwhile, America is estimated to waste from a quarter to an entire half of all the food it produces. This Occupy Wall Street activist was homeless and underfed in his teens. He says times are much tougher now.
Just a few years ago, during the Bush era, you know, I was like 17, 18. But the crazy thing about during that time, even though I was homeless, I was still able to find work.
A growing number of Americans say the time has come to bail out the people.
They were very quick to bail out Wall Street when Wall Street was in trouble, but Wall Street wasn't in danger of going hungry.
With one in five children in America facing hunger, brushing the elephant in the room aside cannot remain an option for the U.S. much longer, as the suffering children are not just missing out on meals, but their entire childhoods. Anastasia Cherkina, RT, New York.
I do not think that you can overlook the most positive truth here in this article, that we are now living in the call of the angel to us to come out of her. The her here means the wicked world of the devil. Since we, the black people, were kidnapped and forced into this world of the white race, we must be forced out of this world. It is not that you, my people, will accept by just having the freedom to accept of your own choice. No, you will have to be punished, divinely beaten, and destroyed until you accept Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise are due forever, as your God and Savior, as I and thousands of my followers are doing. You see? They're being forced. The prodigal son and daughter must come to self. And the only way to bring them, because they have been forced into the world, they have to be forced out of it. Now, that was a few years ago. And you see the situation with the rich and the poor in America. Now listen to this.
Well, America's slow road to recovery is looking like it has more potholes than paved paths these days. The Associated Press released a survey saying as much this week when it found that 4 out of 5 adults struggle with joblessness, near poverty, or reliance on welfare programs for at least part of their lives. Here's what else it discovered. The country's poor remains at a record high, with 46.2 million people, or 15% of the population, living below the poverty level. And if you're wondering what that poverty level is, it means that they have an income for a family of four of less than $23,000 a year. And this issue is not confined to minorities. According to the survey, 76% of white Americans will experience some sort of economic insecurity by age 60. Now, of the 46 million living below that poverty line at the moment, almost half, or 19 million, are white. Here to help me break down the numbers in greater detail, RT producer Rachel Curzius and Prime Interest host Bob English join me now.
Hey there.
Bob, I thought we were on the road to recovery.
Why
What's going on?
Why would you think that?
I don't know. President Obama said so, Bob.
Okay, some of those statistics look...
Hey, as you guys, I'm sorry to cut in here, but as you listen to them, listen to the two scholars go back and forth over each other, and they can't agree on just how bad things are. Just listen.
You don't get counted in them. And the jobs that we're seeing today are of vastly lower quality than they were before. We're looking at jobs increases in retail sector, in the hospitality sectors, and a lot of this is just part-time work. So the quality of jobs is not what it used to be. And then the actual full-time paying jobs are in construction, and we're seeing another manipulated housing boom. Mortgage rates are rising, and we're going to have a fall in that sector as well. So it's not going to look pretty, I would say, a year out from now.
Those are some very ominous predictions, Bob.
And just to add to that, I think it's important to think that we are on the road to some sort of recovery, but the idea that the recovery we're looking at is going to be the same as something we had in the past is kind of misleading. When people have new jobs, these jobs, as Bob said, are going to be in manufacturing, fast food work, things of that nature. And you can sense even the fact that fast food workers have risen in their median age. It shows that this is no longer a stepping stone to a job for teenagers. This is now full-term employment for people who just don't have other options.
Exactly.
Rachel, can you break down some of these statistics in a little bit more depth for our viewers? There's obviously a lot of them in this survey.
Yeah, there definitely are. And I think that, as you said, said, the most eye-catching one, that 4 out of 5 Americans are on the brink of poverty, is one that I think deserves a lot of our attention, especially if you think about what the definition of near poverty means here, right? We're talking about people who have experienced unemployment, have a year or more of government reliance on for things like food stamps or something like that, or have an income below 150% of the poverty line. Yeah. So that's a pretty wide definition that we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I just want to add one thing to that, because it says experiencing unemployment at some time during their working lives. I think that's just kind of to generate headline statistics. Things are bad enough. You don't need to goose it with those kinds of broad numbers.
But at the same time, when people are facing unemployment, that is being on the brink. I mean, there's no necessary understanding that when you lose a job that you're going to be getting another one. So even though it may be, a headline I'm catching statistic, at the same time, it's very real for 4/5 of Americans at some point in their lives.
Certainly.
And it's a very scary reality for those 4/5 of Americans, or 4 out of 5. Now, Bob, you had talked about it a little bit more, but the Help Wanted Index is at a record high. So what about these unemployment people going and filling these jobs? Why is it so hard for employers to find employees and for unemployed people to find these jobs and kind of make it work?
Well, I always question the statistics in the first place, but a lot of people are kind of stuck where they are because they're stuck in their homes. And why is that? Because they're underwater in them. People owe more on their homes than they're actually worth, and that creates a situation where labor is not mobile. That could be one possible explanation.
Now, John Stossel of Fox News Network said that if Americans could get the same amount off of an unemployment check that they can working a low-wage job, then they'll often choose not to take up that low-wage job. Do you think that's the case?
I think there is a bit of decision there. People have a lot of options, and there's government help, and they can simply take the decision to take a government check. We had an extension, a record extension of unemployment benefits, and I think that conditioned the population that, just rely on Uncle Sam for the check, not necessarily on McDonald's.
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily conditioning the population in any way. I think that there are a lot of studies that show that people would prefer to be working rather than be on the government dole. But as you said, there are people who are underwater in their homes, meaning they owe more in their debt than their home is worth, so they can't really sell. Another thing is that the jobs that people are looking for are often very different than the jobs that people are advertising as jobs that need employees. So I think it might also be a question of education.
Well, and let's also play with the term near poverty. Now, this article said that 80% of Americans are facing near poverty. Rachel, what do you make of that term, near poverty?
I stopped it right there. It was about 30-some seconds left, but I wanted to just let you know and outline this. Did you hear the Rachel and the other guy, they were back and forth at each other. The other guy was trying to explain away and try to make you think after acknowledging the dire situation, then he would put a rosy picture on it. You understand? And he would try to justify America's position, even though she's fallen, and we know she is. Now, the clip that I played prior to that, it said, and I wanted you to take notes, it said 1 out of every 5 Americans were suffering or close to poverty, right? In or close to poverty. This clip that I just played to you, this was last year. It was December of last year, which goes for this year also. Listen. And you see the numbers were almost reversed. It says in 2012, 1 out of every 5 were in poverty or near poverty. That was the first clip. This clip was 4 out of 5 people were in poverty or near close to poverty. Do you see the steps in the degrees that Allah is bringing America down? If you don't look at what is being said, if you don't look into what they're saying, then you would think it's rosy. Now, how in the world, let's just address the guy. He says we're in a recovery. Well, if we look at the statistics prior to that, 2 years before that, or a year and a half before that, that was only 1 in 5, according to their own numbers. And yet, according to his numbers, they're 4 out of 5. Yet he says the economy is recovering. How could that be? The devil is a liar, isn't he? All praise is due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. They are insane. They have been engulfed in madness. Allah has smitten them with confusion and paralysis of mind because of their evil towards you and I. And this is just the tipping point. On the next few shows, if Blog Talk allows us to have these shows, We're going to go more into the poverty and hunger situation that is facing America and the globe. We're going to be playing more of those clips to get you acclimated to what is coming. Because there's a great famine that is coming. The famine is here, but there's a greater one on its way, brothers and sisters. And I want you to listen to this. And this right here, this clip is six. We don't care if the time is out. We're going to go six, seven, 10 more minutes, because I do want to get this clip to you, because I want you to see the situation, the financial situation that America is in. And as you listen to this clip, keep in mind chapter 20 of the fall of America, the decline of the dollar. I want you to keep, and if you have that book in front of you, as you're listening, read verbatim what he is saying. And it's on page, it starts on page 87, I believe it is, Fall of America. It says, and this is the head point I want you to often go over here. He says right here, this from the middle part of the second paragraph to the fourth paragraph. Listen to what it says. The pound has lost 50% of its value. America's dollar has lost everything now as power backing her currency, which was once backed by gold for every $5 note and up. All of her currency was backed by silver from a dollar note up. But today, the currency of America is not backed by any sound value, silver or gold. The note today is something that the government declares that they will give you the value in return, but does not name what that value is. But they definitely are not backing their currency with silver or gold. This is the number one fall, and it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. What will happen since there is no sound backing for her notes? We do not know. What should we expect even in the next 12 months under the fall of the power of America's dollar? Muhammad answers, this means that we have 100% inflation. Now, I'm going to play this clip. And on the next show, and we're not going off yet, I just want to, and on the next show, we're going to come back to this, page 87, with another clip that we have. But I want you to remember this as you're listening to this right here.
The U.S. has surmounted debt it simply cannot pay back. It is just impossible. Through any mathematical calculation, it is absolutely impossible. They have accumulated more debt in the past few years than all other years before. That is the extreme level that they have gotten themselves into. Now, this is okay as long as other countries continue to buy up their debt, and China being the number one prospect here. However, they have been fluctuating on how they've been buying this debt. So right here, you can see for the third straight month, China further decreases U.S. Treasury purchases. So basically what they're saying is that China is no longer looking like it's going to buy consistently more and more debt of the U.S. But, like I said, it fluctuates. So for the time being, they seem to be buying less debt. At the same time, they're doing more and more partnerships with Russia. So they seem to be, you know, allies with Russia, as Russia over time has been decreasing their purchases of debt as well. So this presents a problem. Now let's take a look at what I wrote in my book. China and other U.S. dollar supporters are slowly starting to diversify their holdings. That is huge news, because it shows that the U.S. will not be able to sustain what they're doing. And I'll get into that in a moment. But just take a look at this. What I had said, what I had stressed in my book so many times, is what I said. The end result will be that the Fed will remain as the primary purchaser of U.S. debt. And I continue on. I won't get into details. But basically what these are, the money GPS hot point. It comes up a few times in the book. Not every single chapter or whatever. But essentially this is the point that I want to really drive home, and the hot point, and one of these moments is right here. The Fed is going to have to buy up all that debt. And where do they get this money from? Where do they get it from? Of course, they bring it through the printing press. They just print that money up, and they buy their own debt. And if you'll excuse me for a moment, I'm going to scroll up, and you can see the diagram I drew, and essentially you can read that for yourself, but then you're left with a pile of IOUs, and it can never be paid back, but it's all fictional anyway. Now, this whole banking system itself is going to collapse. I made this pretty clear throughout so many of my videos and my book and so on. But take a look at this recent story. More than 1 million Americans who've been effectively blacklisted from the mainstream financial system because they overdrew their account or bounced a check. There are so many rules and regulations being put in place right now to limit your access to your money that you currently have, and then also in other ways limiting you from accessing the bank. They're charging fees for every little thing that you do. They essentially want you to take your money, and they want you to either put it in the stock market or choose another risky investment. They want a cashless society. They do not want you to have access to paper money. They essentially want it spent or they want it invested in some sort of non-insured investment. That's what they're doing here intentionally. Look at this right here. Chinese investors buying up U.S. golf courses. And it's not just the U.S. golf courses. Of course, they're buying up real estate as well. And they're looking into commercial real estate too. This is the Chinese investors quickly adding golf courses to the growing portfolios of U.S. holdings. So that's what I was just saying right there. Essentially, the Chinese are able to buy up mass quantities of real assets. They understand the value of real assets. Whether or not, you know, what happens with all of this China-U.S. relationship, I'm just trying to bring the point that they understand the value of the real assets. They're buying up all of these U.S.-based assets. We're going to have to see really where this goes with that, but they are buying everything they can get their hands on in the U.S. Let's keep our eyes on this right here. Either way, in whatever happens, the U.S. is doomed.
The currency will collapse. The U.S. is doomed. We had said that. We have been warning you this. When we say it, you take it with a grain of salt and you keep going. When the devil tells you this, you smile and you go do reporting. Hey, the devil said such and such. Hey, look at what the devil said. Look at what this white man said over here. Look at what such. And we've been saying this stuff on the show since the show's inception. We've been saying it on the website since the website's inception. We're telling you that your world, it's being established, the world of the aboriginal black people is being established as the old world, the world of the Anglo goes out. It ain't just going out, it's being hurled out, it's being pushed out, it's being kicked out. Because it has proven itself to be an enemy to the original order. If you don't like it, you can stay going with who you're with. If you don't like it, you know. If you love it, if you love the devil's world, hey, all I can say to you, love it to the end, because we're at the end and you're going with it. I'm just telling you what God said through his messenger. You can accept it. I'm not here to argue with you over it. I'm not here to force feed you this. I'm not here to wrestle over the truth, because you got some of these people, I don't care what you say to them, how much proof that you present to them. You know, they'll go and say, yeah, I understand, but. Nullifying all of the proof beforehand. And then they want to tongue wrestle with you all the time, taking up your time. These are the people that are rusty locks, and you are to waste no more time with rusty locks. What do you do with rusty locks? Huh? You cast them away, because if you put your key, your wisdom, in those locks, your key might break off in it, and both of y'all may be doomed. You understand? We're at a time, a crucial time, brothers and sisters, and I want you to wake up to what is being said and what is being done. And if you don't realize today, if you cannot see today that this world has reached critical mass, that everything that they taught you about themselves is a lie, and that everything is Walt Disney, oh, we're in a recovery. They don't mention the word depression. They say recession. How can this be a recession when there's over 50 million people relying on food stamps? I think, what did they say, 200 times more, 2,000 times more than the 1930 Depression. Those are soup lines. The food stamp office is the soup lines. More people out of job. More people underwater. Millions of homes in foreclosures. Millions of homes have been foreclosed. There are more foreclosed homes in America, according to statistics, than the population in Britain. Isn't that something? But this is a recession. America is the largest debtor nation in history, in the history of the world. And we date back 76, 78 trillion years. She's the largest debtor, but this is a recession. There are more people hungry and homeless today than ever before. This is a recession. Unemployment at all-time highs, especially in the black community. But this is a recession. The prison population has exploded. And they are cutting the prisoners' meals from 3 to 2. And half of, one meal equals half of what a meal used to be. But this is a recession, not a depression. Wealth destruction. There has been more black wealth terminated in the last 12 years than all of slavery combined. Yet this is a recession. You better go and look again, brothers and sisters. They are trying to fool you. And the devil said he will come from before you and from behind you and from the left and from the right. And surely you will find most of them not worthy. But God gives them a promise. All who shall follow you, I will fill hell with you all. I want you to enter heaven. The plane is waiting. It's been fueled with the divine fuel of God. Let us all step on that 747 called Elijah Muhammad, that we may escape to safety. I love you, and I'll see you. And make sure you check out tomorrow's show. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the rosy glow.